You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Way, way back at the start of the COVID pandemic, once we learned letting someone breathe in your face was the real risk for transmission, I predicted a new golden age for glory holes. A wall, a hole, a dick, a blowjob, a little impersonal, yes, but no breathing on each other or in each other's faces. And with months of me making this prediction, health authorities across the country were encouraging people who weren't satisfied fucking around online to go seek out glory holes or maybe even build one in their own home. Which is what a then 28-year-old Toronto man did in 2020. He built himself a glory hole, kind of a flimsy one, just a sheet with a hole cut in it, and got online looking for dick. And now, 4 years and 2 vaccines and countless booster shots and who knows how many conspiracy theories later, that man is going to jail. Jacques Gallant, who writes about justice and legal affairs for the Toronto Star, covered his trial. Gallant writes, in 2020, Tony Sphere tricked 2 men into believing they were talking to a woman online and invited them over to his Toronto home to have anonymous sex through a hole in a sheet hanging in a doorway. As instructed, the victims walked into the home and put their penises inside the hole. Oral sex was performed, and then it became penetration without warning. The ruse, Gallant's report continues, came to an end when the second man pulled the sheet down to find Sphere cowering on the ground in a black wig. Last month, Ontario Court Justice Kathy Mocha convicted Sphere on 2 counts of sexual assault and sentenced him to 28 months in prison, 14 months for each count. He'll also be on the sex offenders registry for the next 10 years. First, let me say, what Sphere did was wrong. It is never okay to trick a straight man into letting you suck his dick, my fellow cocksuckers. And if you can't wrap your head around why this is not okay, why it's unfair to the straight man, maybe I can persuade you not to do something like this by reminding you that there's no more dangerous place on earth for a gay man or a trans woman to be than alone in a room with a straight-identified man during his refractory period. So, if only to protect yourself from bodily harm and also long stints in prison, do not do this. And straight people who are listening right now, gay men, do not do this. For gay guys who like glory hole action, a tiny percentage of gay men, there is no shortage of men, some straight identified and some actually straight, who are willing to stick their dicks through glory holes, no trickery, no ruse required. That some gay dude in Canada did this? It's as unnecessary, there is no dick shortage, as it is remarkable. Which is why I'm remarking on it now, because it's remarkable. And my lead remark, my headline remark, what Sphere did was wrong. My follow-up remark, we don't need to have a moral panic about this. No need to intervene, libs of TikTok, because this is not a thing that happens with any regularity, much less worrying regularity. Now, about the 2 men who showed up at this guy's apartment, according to Gallant's reporting in The Star, in the wake of this experience, the judge said both victims now question their judgment. Yeah, I would hope so. Because, come on, no woman would make a man the offer this man made those men while he was pretending to be a woman named Angela on the internet. Because no woman would invite strange men off the internet to come to her home and stick their dicks through a hole in a sheet so she could suck them off. I mean, have either of these guys ever met a woman or talked to one or dated one or been raised by one? Even if there are women out there who might be up for sucking a dick under glory hole circumstances, maybe in a sex club, maybe at a sex party where it's safe and people are vetted, it's just too dangerous a scenario for most women to contemplate inviting strange men off the internet to their houses for anonymous sex. And most men of sound or even decent judgment, would know that. So yeah, seems to me these men, Sphere's victims, would do well to question their judgment going forward, if only to be on their guard against the kind of dickful thinking that brought them and their dicks to that sheet in the first place. Guys, all guys, If you're a straight man and you're talking to a stranger on the internet who claims to be a woman named Angela or a woman at all, any other name at all, and she's telling you she loves dick so much she'll inhale any dick that comes through any hole in any wall or any sheet, if you can't remember how dangerous it would be for any woman to actually do such a thing, maybe you can remember what comedian Michelle Wolf said about the difference between gay men and straight women.
I hate gay men because they're better at being women than I am. Like, I thought I liked dick, and then I heard a gay guy talk about it, and I was like, oh no, I think it's just okay. Gay guys talk about dick the way men wish women talked about dick. Straight men, if you want someone to love your dick, be gay. Gay guys talk about dick the way kids talk about Christmas. Greg, is it here yet? Can I open it? Women, we talk about dick the way Jews talk about Christmas. We're like, the music is nice. But I don't think it needs to start in October. Also, holiday's over. Let's wrap it up. It's wintertime.
So yeah, straight guys, if you're talking to someone online and they're talking about dick like dick is Christmas and they can't wait to open it, they're so crazy about dick, they'll suck one that pops through a hole in a wall or a sheet, you're talking to a guy. And finally, and for the record, Sphere isn't going to prison for the crime of being a gay man who sucked a straight man's dick. That is actually not against the law. He's going to prison for essentially rape by deception. As the judge said at sentencing, it is the violation of personal integrity and the negating of the victim's right to self-determination that makes these offenses of Sphere's serious. Sphere obtained consent from these men under false pretenses, which means consent wasn't obtained at all, and that's criminal, rape by deception. But there are more ways to deny someone their right to self-determination and more ways to obtain consent under false pretenses than by cutting a hole in a sheet and lying about being a woman. People lie to get sex all the time. Not just desperately horny gay men stuck in their apartments during pandemics, during the new golden age of glory holes. Straight men have been known to lie to women to get sex. Hashtag not all men lie and hashtag not just men lie. People lie about their intentions. People lie about their availability. People lie about whether they're married. People lie about whether their marriages are open. People lie about having had a vasectomy. People lie about being on the pill. People lie about being HIV negative or being on PrEP or being quote-unquote clean. Seems to me that if we're going to start tossing people into prison for telling the kinds of lies that violate someone else's right of self-determination and not just gay guys who tricked straight guys into letting them suck their dicks, yeah, we're going to need more prisons and bigger ones. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the magnum, health and science journalist Benjamin Ryan joins me to talk about his recent story in the New York Times about why gay men in the age of PrEP aren't using condoms, a development that anyone could have seen coming. To hear my conversation with Benjamin Ryan, become a subscriber to the Magnum Savage Lovecast now at savage.love. All right, let's get to this week's first question.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E.
Hey, Dan, 40-year-old from Vancouver, Canada, longtime listener, cisgendered, straight woman, single now for a little while, and I have had my first man ask for ass play. And being the GGG type of listener that I am, I am looking for suggestions of where to start for somebody who is not necessarily familiar with that area on a man. I've never been asked for that before, but looking for like, what do I do with my fingers? What do I do with my tongue? What am I doing down there, Dan?
He asked for ass play and you're asking me how to play with his ass. You're asking the wrong person. You need to ask him. You need to ask him what sort of ass play it is that he's interested in. What sort of ass play, I think this is just as important, he's already engaged in. How does he play with his own ass? What is it that he wants? He could just want a finger on his butthole while he's getting his dick sucked. He could want a finger in his butthole while he's getting his dick sucked. He could have no experience with anal penetration at all. He could have a collection of dildos and vibrating butt plugs that he's already used. You need some information from him about where he and his ass together are or have already arrived in the ass play universe before you can just take a running leap at his butt. Somebody says, I'm interested in ass play. You don't call a sex advice podcast and then have the host tell you, fucking get the biggest strap-on dildo you can and run at him from across the room and just fucking impale. That would be terrible advice. So talk to him. My advice, though, general advice, when you start out with ass play, if he's very inexperienced, you're inexperienced, so don't start out with penetration. First rule of beginner ass play, whether you're the only beginner in the room or you're both beginners, is near, on, across, not necessarily in. Lick his asshole in the shower. Lick his asshole or place a finger across his perineum and his asshole and his taint. Apply pressure. Use a vibrator, not shove a vibrator into his ass. Lay a vibrator, a dildo-shaped vibrator, across his asshole. Have a few orgasms or treat him to a few orgasms or allow him to stroke himself and achieve a few orgasms on his own while you're providing some anal stimulation and create that association between anal play, anal engagement, and pleasure. The problem with penetration is a lot of people are nervous about it. They're scared. They tense up. And to be successfully anally penetrated, for it to be pleasurable, you need to learn how to relax. He needs to learn how to relax. He'll have an easier time making that leap to being relaxed if he's already had some orgasms with his asshole in play, but not his asshole being fucked. But the first thing you got to do, you got to talk to him. When he says, I'm interested in ass play, I've asked for ass play. Okay, there's a lot of things that count as ass play. A little rimming, a little fingering. There are people on the internet who are sitting on traffic cones. That also counts as ass play. That can't be what he wants. Or maybe it is what he wants. Maybe he's got a collection of giant ass toys under the bed, and he just needed to gauge your reaction to this request before rolling them out. Talk to him. Talk to him. But if he's as inexperienced with ass play as you are, start with near, on, across, not in. Even if he is more experienced with ass play, for you to get comfortable playing with this man's butthole, stick to, at first, near, on, across. Running your tongue across his asshole, putting your finger across his asshole, laying a toy that vibrates across his asshole, getting it on his asshole, near his asshole, and have some great butt sex-ish ass play, playing with his ass, not fucking his ass, experiences, and then work your way up to penetration, to varsity ass play.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 47-year-old woman, and I am dating a 44-year-old man. We are both recently divorced and truly enjoying our new relationship. We have the most incredible connection and sexual chemistry. I have a very high sex drive, and I'm very comfortable with all the things that bring me pleasure. Recently, my guy told me to listen to episode 898. You were giving advice about blowjobs. Dan, I need you to settle a very playful issue. I absolutely enjoy giving blowjobs. However, my guy needs a certain tempo for stimulation. So I say it's best for him to do the thrusting so he can get the right stimulation, and then I can focus on covering my teeth and breathing. He would like me to do the stroking, the sucking, covering my teeth, and breathing all while he's thrusting. I say it needs to be one or the other, and we trade off who does the work. Otherwise, we get off tempo, and it's difficult to make sure my teeth are covered. That's really my biggest concern. All right, Dan, what are your thoughts?
I was a little confused by how you phrased it. If I understand you correctly, to get off during oral sex, your new boyfriend needs a certain tempo, certain thrust pace, certain kind of stimulation, and you would like him to do the thrusting. You are essentially inviting him to fuck your face, which is something not a lot of women typically enjoy or cite as something pleasurable about giving a blowjob. Often, I don't want to get my face fucked is right there at the top of the list of ways women don't want to go down on a man. But you're telling this guy, let me take care of covering my teeth, let me take care of breathing and keep my mouth wet, and you take care of the in and out. But what he wants you to do, if I follow, is not just cover your teeth and provide suction and tongue action, but for you to bob up and down on his dick and for you to make your best guess at approximating the tempo and pace that he needs to get off. Essentially, he wants you to do all the work while he lays there and receives the blowjob. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you could get there, but for right now, he shouldn't look a gift horse in the cocksucking mouth. He should go ahead and fuck your face. It is the most efficient way for him to, or for you to learn what kind of pace it is that he requires by him setting the pace. And then maybe down the road, once you're sure of what it is he needs and how he needs it to get him there and get him off, you can do a little bobbing up and down. But I would mix that in. He should do the thrusting that you're inviting him to do. Maybe sometimes once you're more acclimated and more comfortable, you can do some bobbing up and down. But if you find that sort of not just making sure your teeth are covered, making sure that there's suction, keeping your lip closed, if you find in addition to all of that work, all of that effort that you're already going to, that throwing your head back and forth to be unpleasant as a sensation, or maybe it's bad for your back or whatever, yeah, he should take the yes, you can fuck my face that you're offering him for an answer and go ahead and fuck your face and do that part of the labor that is a blowjob. The old joke, they don't call it a blow vacation, they call it a blowjob because it's work. And you're asking him to do a little bit of the work and a kind of work that a lot of guys like to do, would like to do, but often when you're talking about opposite sex relationships, their female partners really don't want them to do. I can't tell you the number of times I've had women tell me they like to give blowjobs, but they draw the line at some dude fucking their face. It's a dick. You fuck things with it. If you're putting it in your mouth, you might get your face fucked a little bit. It's part of it. If you're gay, that's part of what you love about it. But there are a lot of women who find that disrespectful. You aren't one of them. He should be counting his fucking blessings here and fucking your face.
Savage Lovecast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for creators and business owners to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. There's no way you can do this on your own. Do not delude yourself. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. Do you have any SEO tools in the shed? No, you don't. Squarespace does, and they know how to use them. Grow credibility and engage visitors with an unrivaled suite of visual design effects built in and ready to go on any Squarespace website. Create your online aesthetic with dozens of modern and intuitive options. Then connect social and multimedia accounts in a few clicks to extend your brand's footprint. No web design classes at the community college necessary. Head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 39-year-old cis woman in Austin, Texas, and I've got a question for you. I'm currently seeing someone who I was in a long-term relationship with. Our relationship ended because of an affair. We had an ostensibly open, some version of open relationship before that, but it had always been a little bit tricky. My partner, who was female anyway, she carried on a relationship behind my back and lied to me about it, and that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back, even though there had been ongoing miscommunications and problems that I had been trying to get her to go to therapy for a couple years that we hadn't been able to resolve. So fast forward to a year later, she has stuck around, asked me to get back together. I've been kind of tolerant of her in my life. A couple months ago, I found out she was dating someone else, and she and I had some really good talks, and the way she told me was so mature and so forward-thinking compared to how we had been when we were together. She just said, like, hey, I'm coming around to what you're saying about, like, the benefits of having an open or poly relationship, and I'm ready, and I'm dating somebody, and I still want to date you, and you're getting back together with you is still my priority, and I'm willing to work on it. And so I was like, okay, we can try it. So 3 months later, her communication around her other partner has been really terrible. Like, for example, double scheduling us on the same day, and then stonewalling me, and then kind of escalating their relationship without talking to me, while at the same time telling me that we can't escalate our relationship without her talking to her other partner, and yet at the same time saying that I'm still somehow her priority. And the whole thing is making me a little crazy and triggering some kind of like anxious attachment behavior that I normally don't display. I love her, and I'm still in love with her. And she says she's still in love with me, but I'm having a hard time figuring this out. So I suggest we go to therapy. We're going to therapy next week, and I'm just wondering if it's pointless, if I should save my money and leave the bitch.
Monogamous people feel like they've failed if they break up with someone. Poly people feel like they failed often, it seems, if they break up with anyone. Yeah, you can break up with this bitch. Go ahead. Typically, when somebody ends a call with, should I break up with this bitch? Should I break up with this bastard? The answer is probably, yeah, if that's how you're wrapping up the call. Can I leave this bitch? Yes, you can definitely leave this bitch. Seems to me, double scheduling on the same day, I do that all the time. I triple booked myself on a Thursday night recently because I am chaotic and disorganized and can't keep a calendar. So I'm willing to give your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend, if you've already left that bitch, the benefit of the doubt there, but escalating their relationship, jumping on that relationship escalator with the other girlfriend without talking to you first about the steps she was taking, meanwhile telling you that you can't escalate or she can't escalate the relationship she has with you without first checking in with her other girlfriend, and at the same time telling you you're her priority when her actions are telling you the opposite. You don't have to stick around for that micro gaslighty shit. You can end the relationship. The amount of money that people who identify as poly or aspire to poly or ethical non-monogamy waste on couples counseling, and sometimes throuples counseling, because they just can't let it go, because they're clinging to the identity of being functional and open and being able to do this open thing, and they're incapable of letting go of the person or a person, this particular person that they're attempting the open thing with, and it isn't working, not because the open thing isn't working or you're failing at the open thing, but just because they're not the right person to attempt that with. So yeah, you have my permission to skip counseling, save the money, and end this relationship. I can't imagine what it must be like to run a small business. Making every big and small decision has to take its toll. But if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is an obvious and easy choice. It streamlines your processes and makes your business more efficient, freeing you up to focus on, yes, all the other decisions you have to make, big and small. The Stamps.com mobile app is like having a post office in your pocket. Wherever you are, the post office is. All you need is a computer and a printer. They even send you a free scale. You can mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Access to the USPS and USPS right from your computer or phone anytime, day or night. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. And you'll get rates you can't find anywhere else, like to 89% off USPS and UPS. Order shipping and mailing supplies, labels, and even printers from the supply store when you run low. Make the same no-brainer decision, an easy one, but a big one, same one a million other businesses have made by going with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code SAVAGE for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm in my mid-50s, a cis bicurious male who has just been back in the dating scene for about a year. I was in a fairly vanilla marriage for 30 years that ended quite amicably. When I first got separated, I had success dating in a more metropolitan area, but I moved for work to a more rural area. I'm handsome, fit, well-liked, well-paid, well-respected. I take dance classes frequently and go out social dancing on the weekends. I'm bi-curious, so I'm open to women, men, or both. One of my children is polyamorous. That seems to work, so it's something that I'm open to. I'm sensual, having studied massage and tantra. I get complimented on my clothes frequently, and I'm extroverted and can go up to people on the street, random people, and make them smile or laugh. So I'm good at introducing myself to people. I'm just wondering where to find sexy people.
I follow Cody Daigle Orions on Instagram. He is Ace Dad. He gives advice on Instagram. He's pretty good. I enjoy following him, in part to keep up with all the new niche sexual orientations and lingo and terminology. He is on top of it. And he recently had a post that began, "What is metronormativity?" New normativity just dropped. Maybe you've heard of homonormativity and heteronormativity. There is now metronormativity to bear in mind, and I am complicit in metronormativity. Craig writes, "Metronormativity describes the cultural bias we have that positions urban settings and communities as more safe and desirable for queer people and positions rural settings as less safe and less desirable for queer people. Metronormativity creates a narrative that queer people need to migrate to urban centers in order to live their full queer lives." Listening to your call made me think of that post on Craig's Instagram feed. He is Ace Dad Advice on Instagram about metronormativity. Because you moved to a rural area and my metronormative impulse is to tell you to move to a fucking city. And I'm sorry, maybe that's metronormative of me, and maybe that's problematic, but you literally say that when you were living in an urban area, in a metropolitan area, you had success dating. And then you moved to a rural area for work, and crickets, big cities, more densely populated places, whether they're urban or not, where the people are where the people typically have an easier time getting laid. If work is keeping you in this rural area, it's not that you can't get laid in a rural area. It's not that there aren't people who are bi in a rural area. There you are, bi in a rural area, proof all by yourself that there are bi people in the rural area where you are, but they're going to be fewer and further between, just like the straight people are in a rural area. So if you stay there, you're going to have to look a little harder and a little longer. It's going to take more time and more energy and effort for you to find and run into somebody that you click with. There are also the increasingly shitified dating apps. I know people, I know queer people, I know queer men, gay men who live in rural areas, and Scruff and Grindr have made it possible for them to live and have dick and thrive and feel happy and not deprived and not like they need to move to a studio apartment in an urban area that they don't want to live in. They want to live on some land in a rural area. And indeed, they do. But yeah, typically, and I don't think this is metronormative of me, I don't think this is hateful or problematic. It is just fucking true. And your own experience bears out this truth. The more people in a place, the more queer people and straight people there are going to be in that place, and the easier it is going to be for you to find your people or your person or people or persons like you who want what it is you're selling, wearing, and dancing. But if you're stuck out there, my advice, move on all fronts, get on the dating apps and shitified as they might be right now, and leave the house and go to your dance classes and keep striking up those conversations with people and see where they lead. When you strike them up with people who don't laugh and smile and back slowly away, see where those conversations go. And yeah, maybe you'll find someone, something at some point. Or you can do the metronormative thing, get that resume together and find a job in a big city or in the big city that you left for the rural area you're in now, and make it just a little easier on yourself to get laid.
Hi, Dan. Female here in her 30s. Basically, I've lived in multiple different cities, and this thing has happened to me like 3 or 4 times now. I'll be just walking on the sidewalk or hanging out in the parking lot, and a guy will be jacking off in his car at me. It's literally happened, like, again, 3 or 4 times, different places. The most recent one just happened yesterday. I was waiting for a ride, and I just noticed his car pull up. He's idling there for like 5 minutes. I'm not really noticing. And then I look in, and sure enough, he's going at it, looking right at me. And he also had his phone in his hand. So I don't know if he was like recording my reaction or, you know, if that made it like, I don't know. I really don't know. My question is like, what do I do in those moments? Obviously, it's like an upsetting thing, but I don't want to like overreact to give this person like more pleasure. And I also am, the part of my brain is like, what if he has a gun? And what if I like start freaking out at him and he just like shoots me or something? In this case, I walked to the back of his car, took a picture of the license plate, and I phoned it in like to the police in a non-emergency line before, but I honestly don't even know like what that does. So I would like techniques in terms of how to take like my power back in these moments, because based on my track record, this will definitely happen again and I want to be prepared.
I've been called a faggot by a bunch of straight boys in a car and stepped into the street and picked up a rock and broken their back windshield. I did that when I felt relatively safe, when I was on Halsted Street in Chicago and I could break that windshield that then they would have, those shitty kids would have to go home to their parents and explain how that happened and step into a gay bar that these 4 shitty kids could not get into or find me in. I've also been called faggot by couple of fucking assholes in a car driving very slowly down a dark street in the middle of the night. And I was a little less confrontational at that moment. I de-escalated at that moment because I couldn't be sure that I would be safe if I confronted those assholes in that moment. So my advice to you is to do as quickly as you can a risk assessment. How safe are you? Pulling out your phone, recording the asshole, recording you, getting their license plate. Not that the cops are going to probably do anything about an incident like this, but you could always put it up on the internet and let the internet do its shaming thing, which is not great, not something I typically endorse. I try not to engage in or encourage or kick off pylons on the internet myself, but if there's anything somebody deserves a pylon for, it's something like this. But I don't want to cavalierly encourage you to be confrontational and to escalate in a situation like this where, yeah, he could have a gun. And so just like I've occasionally had to negotiate what it is I can or can't do when confronted with a car full of fucking homophobic assholes, in that split second, you have to negotiate. You have to figure out what you are safe doing and then do that thing. I will add that men who masturbate at women like this, they want to scare you. That is part of the thrill for them, is seeing how unnerved and upset, how unsafe you might feel at that moment. And as shocking as it is, as annoying as it is, as provocative a fucking inconsiderate, asshole-y gesture as it is what that man is doing, really reacting at all. I mean, it's such a trap. Like, reacting at all is to give that man what he wanted from you, which was your upset, your fear. And so sometimes the best course of action is blankness, is no reaction, if you can scrounge it up at all, just no reaction, and withdrawing, moving yourself away from that person, turning a blind eye, walking away. The person pulls up at a stop sign or stoplight and is masturbating and hoping you notice. Maybe you notice, and then you let your face go stony, you stop noticing, you turn and walk away. I mean, it sucks. It sucks. You know, at that moment, you shouldn't be the one who needs to shut down or police your own reaction or your own behavior. That person is being an asshole, and there should be social sanction. Maybe with the internet, you can create for him social sanction, but there's not a lot you can do in a situation like that. I wish every time a couple of fucking asshole men or four men, four teenagers in a car had yelled faggot at me, that I had broken every single one of those windshields. I was very selective about the windshields I broke in that way. It depended very much on where I was, who I was with, how safe we were, how safe I was, and how quickly I could escalate by breaking that windshield and then get the fuck out of there. If you're in a circumstance where you feel like you can escalate in an insane way and cost that man something, pick up a brick and throw it through his fucking windshield and then disappear and be safe, I would say fucking go for it. But in most cases, just like in most cases when some four asshole kids in a car yelled faggot at me on Halsted Street in Chicago, in most cases, you have to extract yourself from that situation as quickly and safely as you possibly can.
Hi there, Dan. I'm a lesbian in her mid-30s living in the Midwest. My wife and I, of nearly 3 years now, are starting to plan our family. Obviously, there's more planning in it with a same-sex couple, but my wife is basically going to carry first before me, as she is 5 years older than me. So we thought that that would make sense and buy us more time if and when we want a second child. The problem is, her mom has always been a little bit tricky about our relationship and her being gay in general. This is fine. It's been 9 years now. I've gotten over it. It's so fine. But when we announced to her mother that my partner was going to be the first to carry our child, she exclaimed, "Oh my God, I'm so delighted. It's going to be my actual grandchild this time." So that hurt my feelings a lot more than I thought that it would, as if because I'm the non-bio mom this time round, that somehow this child is better than our future children. My wife said, "Please ignore her. She doesn't know what she's saying. She can be a bit backward, and I understand that, and she's been like that in the past. But it's really gotten to me, and it makes me kind of insecure. I've never been insecure about being the non-bio mom, but this has made me really insecure. It has really got to me. I've been thinking about it for like a week now. And every time I see her, it really gets my goat. It really annoys me because it's like, if we have future children, is she not going to love them as much because they're not biologically related to her? Yeah, it makes me sad. Any advice?"
At this point, I think sex and relationship programs, not just mine, everyone's, all the advice and relationship podcasts out there should be paying royalties to Maya Angelou's estate, because we all find ourselves saying again and again, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time, because it's applicable to so many different situations where people in your life, including people you can't get out of your life, like a mother-in-law, let you down. So your wife's mom is her mom, and you've been reminded again that her mom is her mom and is the mom that she's always been, which is a mom who's got a little bit of a weird issue with her daughter's lesbianism and your relationship. And perhaps one of the ways that's going to manifest is her being more invested emotionally in the child that she has a genetic relationship with, the grandchild that she is related to genetically, the biological child of her biological child. Will she love the child that you carry less? I don't know. And at this point, I really don't think you can know for sure. Kids have a way of making adults in their lives and their orbit love them, whether they anticipated that they would be able to love that child or not. Your shitty mother-in-law may be more excited about the idea of her daughter having a child than she is about you having a child, and she may make a distinction, at least now, while those children, both of them, are hypotheticals, between those two grandchildren. Once she is confronted with the infant that you are going to lay in front of her or hold up on that rock, Lion King style, her heart may melt, and the distinction that she's making now may evaporate, and she may not feel it anymore. But yeah, what are you going to do until that moment where your shitty mother-in-law has an opportunity to grow, and that infant that you're going to carry has, you know, not the opportunity, but like perhaps the effect that sometimes infants have of drawing out of the adults in their lives and in their orbit more love than anyone could have predicted that particular adult was capable of showing. You won't know that until you have that child. And so I would encourage you not to fucking think about it. Whatever compartmentalizing part of your brain is set aside until this moment, until your shitty mother-in-law ripped the scab open, whatever part of your brain was able to set aside the like weird ways she's been weird at your wife and weird at you about your same-sex relationship and your gay marriage, do that again. Set it the fuck aside. This is years away. You don't want to spend the next few years, especially time that you'll be spending with your first child that'll be carried by your wife, obsessing about this shitty woman and the shitty reaction and shitty behavior she might engage in. And then when you have your baby, if she does make some distinction, if she performs, "I love this infant less," yeah, then your wife needs to take some responsibility. Your wife needs to lay down the law with her mother about what is acceptable and is not acceptable. I know people whose parents, one kid had a kid that they approved of, and that kid on the birthday would get $100 in a card. And one kid had a kid that they didn't quite approve in the same way of how that kid came into existence and got $10 in their annual birthday card. That is shit that cannot be tolerated. In that instance, I can't get any more specific because I don't want to get in trouble. In that instance, both of those kids confronted their parents about how they would not tolerate the emotional pain that they were potentially, as those kids got older and could compare what was in those birthday cards from their grandparents, inflict on those kids, and that they were to treat them equally or not see them at all. And if your fucking shitty mother-in-law is really invested in the relationship she has with her grandchild that is related to her genetically, your wife may need to go to her and say, "You are risking having a relationship with this child that you have a genetic connection to if you cannot also love this child who is every bit as much your grandchild, just like both of these kids are every bit as much my children as they are my wife's children." Your wife may have to throw down like that with her mother or not. We won't know whether your wife has to throw down like that with her mother until these kids arrive and they exist. And in the meantime, enjoy your wife, enjoy your marriage, enjoy however it is you two are going to get pregnant. Enjoy the pregnancies, enjoy the births, and don't spend every minute obsessing about the shitty reaction that your mother-in-law might have. And congratulations. All right, before we get to this week's listener response calls, I want to share a couple of listener comments posted about last week's show at savage.love. Says BGN, "For the woman dating the semen retentionist, I don't think anything Dan or Dr. Sprankle said was wrong, but they left out how much of the nofap anti-masturbation rhetoric comes out of the incel, Andrew Tate, misogynistic alt-right sides of the internet. So the caller needs to be careful her partner isn't going down a reactionary rabbit hole. Next thing you know, he'll be voting Republican and paying to go to Alpha Male boot camp." Says kindness is key regarding the caller with the 15-year-old stepdaughter who's grossed out when she hears them having sex. Can you really not be quieter? Your sex is so loud it can be heard over the television. Turn the fucking TV up and turn your sex noises down. Also, if you all do decide to talk to her, it should be only her mom. It would be completely inappropriate for the boyfriend, caller, pseudo-stepdad to be there during the convo. Yuck. Yeah, seems to me that a kid who's pounding on the walls and making retching noises when her mom so much as kisses her new live-in partner is initiating some sort of conversation in the obnoxious way that teenagers sometimes do by being obnoxious. But yes, you are right. Kindness is key. It should just be mom who talks to her daughter about what is going on in that house. Finally, says Lance, for the caller who had the Molly-fueled three-way, as soon as that guy brought up his current sexual dissatisfaction in his primary relationship and put all the blame on his partner, that was a red flag he was cheating. People who are in happily open relationships don't lay out these kinds of subtle manipulation tactics. That's what people who are cheating do in hopes you'll agree to fuck them in spite of their partner. That is a very good point, Lance, and it is one I wish I had made. All right, for more listener comments, including things I wished I'd said on the show, and more of my responses, be sure to check out Struggle Session, a weekly bonus column for Magnum Subs. Goes up every Thursday at savage.love. It's one of the perks for our Magnum Subs, and it is the only place on the internet where you will find the Muppet-faced Man of the Week. And now, listener response calls.
This is a response for the caller in episode 910 who's having trouble finding the time and energy to have sex with her partner despite really wanting to. I really related to this call. I've been with my husband for a few years now and I'm on antidepressants, so my libido has really taken a bit of a dive. But we had a conversation yesterday about how it's affected our sex life, and I think the thing that Dan missed is that life is always going to happen and it's going to keep happening. The older you get, you won't really get less busy, you always have stress, you always have jobs, maybe eventually get married, maybe have kids. So all of those things are going to take away your energy. And I think it's also natural for your sex drive to decline after that honeymoon phase. And that's okay. And I would just tell your partner, this is what we did. We had this conversation. We said, hey, like, I want to fuck more. We should fuck more. And let's both try to make more of an effort to make time for it, because it's fun, and we know if we do make the time for it, then we'll both enjoy it.
Hi, Dan. This is in response to the guy whose 15-year-old is horrified at them having sex. And of course a 15-year-old doesn't like to hear her mom having sex. And of course she's going to be horrified. And of course she's going to make that obvious. I will never forget, as long as I live, the first time I caught on that my parents were having sex. I probably was like 17. My younger brother was probably about this girl's age. Her parents were in the bedroom and they were playing jazz music very loudly. And we were so horrified that we literally went outside together and sat on the porch in silence for an hour. But also, like, this isn't her dad. And of course it's weird. And seeing your parent as a sexual being is a very difficult thing. I just think that this girl deserves a little more grace and empathy.
Dan, this is in response to your call that you had with a guest on episode 910. As a longtime elementary school principal, I can tell you that there is a phrase that I use often with teachers and with parents. I wish I would have coined it, but I didn't. We just call it appropriately inappropriate. And for children to masturbate is appropriately inappropriate. We just need to tell them that, like peeing by a tree, which may feel good, it's not appropriate. So we encourage privacy. We encourage doing things in the right place at the right time.
And we're going to leave it there. We've got three great ways for you to get us your questions or your comments for future shows. You can record your question or your comment at savage.love/askdan, or you can make a voice memo on your phone and email us your question or your comment to q@savage.love, or you can call us on our landline and leave us a message at 206-302-2064. I will be hosting Hump in Berlin on April 9th and 10th. That's tonight and tomorrow night. If you are in Berlin and want to say hi and see some amazing short porn films, join me at Babylon Kreuzberg. Then the spring tour continues this weekend with shows in Vancouver, British Columbia, Columbus, Ohio, Philly, and Toronto. Get your tickets to a screening at humpfilmfest.com. And if you've ever been tempted to enter Hump, 2025 is your year. Learn all about how to get your dirty little film into my Dirty Little Film Festival at humpfilmfest.com/submit. Follow me on Instagram and Threads at Dan Savage. Follow me at Blue Sky at Dan Savage. And I'm still on The Bad Place at Fake Dan Savage. You can follow Ben Ryan on Twitter at Ben Ryan Writer. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at risk youth and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.